This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. My guest today is Andre Minkoff. Andre is the founder of Trademark Factory, the only firm in the world that offers trademarking services with a guaranteed result for a guaranteed budget. He was forced into his career as an intellectual property lawyer when his father, a famous Russian composer, caught a radio station stealing his music. Since then, Andre has helped thousands of clients ranging from one-man shows to multi-billion dollar companies protect their intellectual property around the world. Thanks so much for being here today, Andre.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
I'm thrilled to have you here. This is always an interesting topic that we probably don't cover enough. And I'm sorry to hear about your father's experience, but hey, you know, gave you a direction, opportunity to help other people. I would think, and I'm curious, that intellectual property theft is probably a pretty I want to say normal is not a good word, but is something that happens frequently. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think the word you were looking for is common, and it happens everywhere on different levels. The way I see it is that probably one of the reasons I decided to focus on trademarks is that it's the one type of intellectual property that people still want to actually protect, because trademarks have a dual function, right? Not only trademarks are designed to help the owner retain the monopoly on the market, but also trademarks are designed to protect the consumer, so that when a consumer goes to the store and sees something under a certain brand, they can be sure that they're buying an authentic product rather than a copycat, right? So with copyright, we get all these people who try to explain how, you know, Napster was a good thing because it democratized people's access to music, and torrents for, you know, democratizing people's access to the movies and software. And, you know, we get all the people who blame patents for, you know, slow growth of innovation and all of that stuff, which I don't think it's true, but I don't want to go against the grain and try to fight an uphill battle. With trademarks, trademark is still universally considered as something that society wants to protect, and not just lawyers. So I guess that's a long answer to your question.
I love it. It's great. I think that's really clear. But I'm also wondering, how are trademarks different from other kinds of intellectual property, like copyright and patents? What's the difference?
Yeah, so copyright protects content, right? Protects books, movies, software, music, paintings, photographs. So basically, whatever content is being created, copyright can protect the way a certain idea is expressed, right? So,
okay,
for example, when I write a book about different types of intellectual property, I own copyright in the text of that book. And that copyright allows me to stop anyone else from, at least on paper, to copy, you know, scan my book, put it as a PDF and reproduce it and distribute it without my permission. But it won't stop someone else. Like if you wanted to write a book about different types of IP, you could do that as long as you don't just take literal copies from my book, right? Okay. So that's the purpose of copyright, to protect the expression. Patents protect the invention. So if you came up with a new, novel, non-obvious invention, like a new product or a new way of doing things, then you can get a patent on that. And one of the really famous ones long time ago was the one-click patent. When Amazon came up with it, and they wanted to store the credit card in the system, right? So that the next time you go and pay, all you had to do is just log into the account and say, hey, I want to buy more. And then it was licensed by everyone under the sun, including Apple. That was back then. It was revolutionary. By the time the patent expired, and patents are relatively short-lived, it became obvious to everyone. But that's the beauty of a patent, right? Trademarks, they protect brands. They protect the names, the logos, the tagline. So when you go to the store, and I'm going to give you my favorite example. You go to the store and you pass through the shelf with ketchup. The only way really for you to tell one ketchup from the other is what's on the label, right? Right. Here you have Heinz ketchup and have you have something else, or with toothpaste, right? Sure. How do you tell one from the other? It's the same glop, but you know, one is one company, one is the other company. So that's the function of a trademark, to allow consumers to tell identical or virtually identical or similar products and services of one company from the same or similar stuff of everyone else. So that's the trademark.
That's so great. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's so much clearer to me now. So what is a business owner, how do they decide what to trademark? Are they trademarking their name? Are they trademarking their logo? Like, how do they decide what to trademark? And does every business need to trademark those things?
So, all right, so there's a lot of questions here. Yeah. And I'll that's all right. I'll try to figure out how to answer them one after the other. So in terms of what to trademark, the most common types are these five. One is the name of the business, or the personal name if you are the business. Like if you're a celebrity and you want to protect your stage name or your coach name, you know, so name of the business. The okay. second type would be names of your physical product. So for example, if the name of the company is Apple, that's one thing to trademark. But names of products would be iPhone, iPad, you know, Mac, whatever stuff they do, right? Retina display. So that's the second type. The third type would be names of your services. So if you offer services that are not physical products, that's another thing to consider. If you offer info products, if you offer courses, names of those courses could be trademarked. Like for Apple, it's iTunes. For McDonald's, it's Mac Cafe, right? The fourth type would be logos. And the importance of trademarking a logo is really differs between different types of businesses. If you are a brick and mortar store that has a big sign on the highway that everyone recognizes, then it's one of the most important things to trademark, like the golden arches for McDonald's. One man accounting firm in, I don't know, Cleveland, Ohio, and all you do is just, you know, service people who find out about you on BNI meetings, probably your logo doesn't matter as much because people buy your services because they know you as a person, and then they buy from you. So really the question you ask yourself is, does the logo help me get more business? And if the answer is yes, then you do want to trademark that. And if the answer is no, then maybe not. And the last category would be your taglines. So that's your piece of marketing that if you figured out a short phrase that gets people to remember you, that gets people to want to buy from you, that's something you want to trademark. So, you know, the perfect example would be Nike's Just Do It.
Yeah.
You know, they can take a 40-cent white t-shirt, print Just Do It on it, and sell it for $50 and have a lineup of people buying it, right? Really what they've done is just monetized their monopoly on the tagline. So again, if you have a tagline that works for you, get it trademarked. If you just have a cute phrase that you're the only one who cares about, maybe it's not that important. And that brings me to your second part of the question about who needs to do it, who doesn't.
Yes.
I have a very simple process to help business owners figure that out. You ask yourself a few questions, a series of questions. So the first question you ask yourself is, if I'm successful with the business that I am building, assuming everything goes as well as I hope it will I still be selling these products and services that I'm currently selling or I'm planning to sell? Will I be selling them under the same brand 2-3 years from now? If the answer to that is no, you know for sure that even if the business is successful, you're going to move on and use some other brand or move on to some other products and services. Maybe you don't need to trademark because trademarking is a long process. It takes about a year and a half in the US and close to 4 years in Canada and, you know, about a year in Europe. So if by the time you get your trademark, you don't need your trademark, probably not very smart idea to waste your time and money doing this. Excuse me. Assuming that you do plan to keep using the products and services 2-3 years from now, the second question you ask yourself is, will the brand be important to my business 2-3 years from now when it's big and successful, so that I get to either sell more of my products and services or to get more trust from my potential customers or to get more interest from my potential new team members who would want to work for me because of the brand? And if your answer is, well, actually, I don't think the brand is going to mean anything to any of those categories, like the investors, the consumers, the workers, then what I would suggest is you go back to the drawing board today and come up with a better brand. Because why would you not use the power of a brand that works for you, right? So if you know that you're going to be around for a long time and you know that the brand you've got is worthless, much better to come up with something better today. And if you are like, well, of course, if the business is successful, If I get there and we start getting some recognition, the brand will mean a lot. Then I would say go and trademark your brand today. Because by the time you become big and successful, someone will have successfully trademarked your brand. Might as well be you.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's interesting. You do have to think about that, I guess, that you know, if someone else is watching and seeing how great it is, they could go off and trademark it before you ever get around to it if you don't do it in a timely fashion.
Yeah, and you know, there's, you know, for some people who are like, well, you know, there's this thing called common law trademark. If I've been doing this for a long enough time and I was there first, I can win in court. Yeah, you might be able to. First of all, it's not guaranteed. And second of all, it's going to cost you probably 50 to 80 times more than you getting a trademark the right way.
Wow.
Right. And you'd have to go through court every single time someone appears and and challenges you. Whereas when you register your trademark, you do it once and all you have to do is just show one piece of paper. That's the reason they invented trademarking, right? Because before, many years ago, all people had was this common law thing when you had to go to a judge and say, well, you know what, judge? I was the first. I came up with this stuff and I've been doing this. My grandfather was doing this. My grand-grandfather was doing this. We're using this brand. And now this bad person across the street is trying to sell the same stuff and they're putting our brand on it. And the judge would look into that and say, so, yeah, you're a bad person. You shouldn't do that. Right. And it worked when the business was very slow and when copying was hard and when really there weren't so many new products happening every day. And so during the industrialization age, they realized that this wasn't good enough because just as it was getting easier to manufacture more products, it was also easier to copy them by someone, by the bad guys. And so they came up with a very simple proposition. They said, anyone, any brand owner who values their brand needs to have the ability to go to the government and say, hey, record this brand as mine, right? They're going to give them a little bit of money for government fees, for the filing fees. And someone would make a record in a big government book that's going to say, this guy owns this brand or this type of product or this type of service. And the assumption was if they didn't do that, it means they don't really care about their brand all that much. So it's sort of fair game for others to, you know, copycat it unless they really want to fight. And so the same approach is happening still today, right? It's a very simple process if you know what you're doing. Most people find it too detailed and too cumbersome to do it on their own, which is why firms like mine exist. But in a long scheme of things, if you know what you're doing, it's a straightforward process. You file an application, you meet all their guidelines, you dot all the I's, you cross all the T's, and sometime later the government says, "Yep, we've registered your trademark. Now you own it and you can tell everyone else that they shouldn't copy you." Really, what I usually say is that without a registered trademark, not only do you not own your brand, you don't even have a brand. Because what you have is just some word or some image or some phrase that you want to be your brand. That word, image, or phrase only becomes your brand when you can legally tell others to stop copying you. If you don't have that legal power to tell them, hey, this is mine, stop, that this is not a brand. This is just a dream. And if you're serious about building a business and you need to own your brand, that's the only way to do it.
Very interesting. And are there, I guess I want to call them like international, can you get like an international trademark protection, you know, now that we live in this global economy? Is there such a thing?
So there's no such thing as a global trademark.
Okay.
There are international treaties that make it easier for you to get protection internationally, but in the end of the day, you're going to end up with individual trademarks in each country where you want to get protection.
Wow, really?
So for big brands that actually operate internationally, trademarking costs a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, for smaller businesses, you know, like yours and mine, and like most of our audience, I'm sure, it's always about choosing priorities and figuring out what's really important for me. And usually, like my company has four rules of thumb around this. You would always start with your home country, where the company is registered, or where you are as an entrepreneur. Second tier of countries that you should consider is are countries where you have or expect a lot of revenue from. And a lot being, I would say, maybe 30K plus per year.
Okay.
So like if you're a Canadian business, but you sell most of your stuff in the US, you need both US and Canadian trademark. Right. The third tier would be countries where you have a lot of expenses. So if you have an office in some country, a physical office, or if you run ads that target a particular country. So I would say if you spend more than $5,000 on a particular country, that's neither the first tier or the second tier, I would say consider trademarking your brand there as well. And lastly, something that most people don't realize is that if you make your products overseas, even if you don't plan to sell your products overseas, you need to get a trademark there in order to be able to export your own products out of that country to where you plan to sell it. So I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you an example.
Okay.
It's a true story that was very, very painful. So there was this company that made e-bikes, right? And they chose to have them manufactured in China. And so they found a factory and gave them an order and said, hey, we want these bikes, you know, this many e-bikes, please make them, put this brand on them. And they didn't know that someone else filed a trademark in China for that same name to cover e-bikes. When they found out is when the factory put all the e-bikes that they made into a container, that put that container on a ship, and the ship tried to leave the port. And the port authorities received a demand letter from the trademark owner in China saying, this is our trademark, and we have information that this ship has a container with counterfeit e-bikes that are branded with our trademark, and exporting products out of China that carry our trademark is illegal. So they actually arrested the cargo on that ship. And so the ship wrote to the factory. The factory wrote to the poor guy in the US who was the owner of the e-bike company and said, well, we have a problem. All your bikes were arrested. You're not getting them, right? And imagine you're that guy in the US. You paid the company to make those bikes, right? You're out of God knows how much money. You paid for the shipment, and they're telling you that, whoops, you're not getting the bikes.
Wow.
And there's really nothing you can do. So you now have to figure out some sort of a deal with those shady trademark owners in China so that they release the shipment. And it's probably going to cost you a lot of money. But it's probably going to cost you a little bit less money than just, you know, losing the bikes. So it's one of those things when there's no good option except to jump on a time machine and get that trademark filed before somebody else did.
Wow. That's insane. And how long does the trademark last?
Great question. So in theory, trademarks are the only type of intellectual property that can last forever.
Really?
Right. As long as you renew them in time every 10 years, you can renew and renew and renew and renew. So copyright, you asked me before, right? It lasts for the author and about 70 years after the author dies. Then it's free game for anyone to do anything with it. Like, you know, Mickey Mouse has just lost its copyright protection. Patents expire 20 years after you file them. Everything expires except for trademarks, which you can renew and renew. My best example would be Coca-Cola. They filed their first trademark in 1892, and they're still renewing that same trademark.
Wow.
And so there are a few great kind of touches to that. 1892, when they filed their first trademark, was incidentally the year when they were selling 9 drinks a day. I call it a lemonade stand with a dream. You know? But these guys knew that if we are planning to be serious about this and treat it as a business, not as a freaking lemonade stand, then we got to do what serious businesses do. And we got to protect what will be the most valuable part of that business, which is the brand. And so they went out and they incorporated and they got their trademark right away. And so now Coca-Cola's brand, just the brand alone, is worth over $70 billion.
Wow.
Right? Not their factories, not their bottles, not their recipes, not their employees, not their, you know, big contracts with everyone who distributes, none of that stuff, just the brand. And so whatever they paid to their lawyers in 1892 to get that stuff trademarked, it's probably their biggest return on investment.
No kidding. Wow. That's insane. All right. So I have one more question for you that's sort of nagging at me. And that is, some people say that trademarks are easy to overcome because you can just change like one little thing and then it's a whole new brand, so to speak. Is that true?
Legally speaking, it's bullshit. No, that's very far from true, because unlike domain names where, as you said, you can add a letter or hyphen in the middle and you have a brand new registrable domain name, trademarks operate on the idea of likelihood of confusion. So the courts and the trademarks office doesn't only look at ideas. They look at lookalikes, soundalikes, meanalikes, synonyms, translations to different languages. They look at words with different suffixes, prefixes. So they look at anything that a regular Joe Schmo, you know, they call it a consumer in a hurry, right? They ask, and then they ask the question, would that Joe Schmo, who has a vague, imperfect recollection of the registered trademark, when presented with a similar product marked with the other brand, would they be likely to think that the two products come from the same source, basically the same. And if that Joe Schmo would think that, you know, your product and their product could come from the same source, they'll say, yeah, it's trademark infringement. So, you know, the experiment that I always invite everyone to try is there are a bunch of those, I'm painting huge air quotes here. As you can see me, I'm telling you. All right. There's a lot of those free trademark search websites where you can run a search. And if they don't see an exact match, they'll tell you, well, we invite you to file the trademark with us. So my favorite search that I always try is micro-soft software solutions. Right. It always tells you, yeah, it's available. It's a good name. You can time how many hours it's going to take for Microsoft's lawyers to send you a letter after you file that trademark, right? Because, again, this is not about adding a dash. It's not about adding software solutions at the end of it. It's not about replacing an I with number one and all of those tricks that work really well for domain names. Trademarks work on that likelihood of confusion, and especially if you're trying to screw with someone with huge budgets, right, with very deep pockets, it's a very stupid game to play.
Yeah, I'm so glad I asked the question. That is terrific. Thank you for that. This has been great, Andre. I appreciate the information. It makes it so much more clear about when and where and how and what the impact is of all of this. So thank you so much for joining me and sharing that information.
I'm glad you found it useful. I hope the people listening to this also did. And I think we did cover pretty much everything, as you said. Why, where, when, what.
But
the only thing left is how, right?
Yeah, right. So in the event that, which I'm sure is going to happen, that people want to reach out to you and learn more or enlist your services, can you tell the listeners how they can find you, please?
Sure. So there are two paths, and you can pick one depending on where you are.
Okay.
So if you're just trying to learn more about trademarks and figure out if you need one or if you have any specific questions, I would suggest that you start with our YouTube channel. So you go to YouTube, you search for Trademark Factory. I've published more than 1,000 videos.
Wow.
So if you have a question about trademarks, I probably answered more than once. So that's, you know, you can spend hours there watching me and talk about intellectual property and trademarks. I don't think you should, but again, if you have any specific questions, you'll find your answers there. Okay. The second path is you go to trademarkfactory.com and request a free call with one of our strategy advisors, whom you can ask anything you need to ask in terms of the strategy for trademarking your brand, right? They're the ones who will ask you a bunch of questions about your business, about plans, about what you're selling, what your products, what your services, what's your brand. And they'll be able to help you create a list of priorities, right? This is the brand you should do as your number one, you know, level of importance. This is 2, 3, 4. Because again, we understand that business owners have budgets and sometimes they have more brands to protect that they have the budget for. So the important thing here becomes, how do you create a strategy that gives you the most protection while you're still growing, right? Because, you know, it's Apple who can trademark 1,300 trademarks in just US alone. You know, most businesses can't. So the question is, where do you start with? And so that's what our strategy advisors can help you with. So jump on that call, tell them your story, and listen to what they have to tell you. And naturally, if there's a fit and you like what they tell you, and you see the value of what we can do for you, we can help you trademark your brand. As you mentioned in the intro, we're the only firm in the world that offers trademark registration services with a guaranteed result for a guaranteed budget. And what that means is that you'll know exactly how much the whole thing is going to cost you from start to finish, no matter what happens in the middle. What else does, they charge you a little bit of money up front to get you in the door.
Oh.
And then they milk you as the process unfolds.
Wow.
So you pay them a couple hundred bucks up front, and 2 years later, you realize, shit, I just paid them $7,000. For what? Well, because the way it works is you file your trademark application, and several months later, the government gets back to you and say, hey, we don't like your trademark application. There's a problem here. And they'll get back to you and say, you know what? We received this letter from the trademarks office. They say they don't like our application, but don't worry. Don't worry. We can help. We are going to send them a response. We know how to do that. It's only going to cost you $400 an hour, but don't worry. We're going to do everything for you. So they send that response. Yes. They charge you for a few thousand dollars. And then a few months later, they get another rejection and say, well, you know what? The response that we sent was a great response, but unfortunately, the government didn't accept it. They sent us another rejection, but don't worry. And they play this but don't worry game until you either run out of money and give up, or until the trademarks office says that's the final rejection, you're done.
Wow.
And so I was so disgusted with these practices that really that was the reason I came up with Trademark Factory, that I wanted to give brand owners an opportunity to know exactly how much the whole thing is going to cost, no matter how many rejections we're going to get in the middle. And for them to know that if at the end of all this, we don't give you the registration, that's the only reason you paid us for, right? If the government says no, you're going to get all your money back. Wow. Everything you paid us, you're going to get back. How often do you get a refund from a traditional law firm?
Never. Yeah. Wow, that's incredible. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you. I so appreciate you. And this has been really valuable for the listeners. And listeners, thank you. You are who we're doing this for. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day. Don't you know that you're a
grown-up? I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown-Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown-Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, genxgrownup.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, you think that was good enough?
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right.
I've never done it. No, right.